Within 24 hours after the first bombs from carrier-based Japanese airplanes exploded at Pearl Harbor, the United States entered a worldwide war in which the flying machine, largely a bit player previously, assumed an ever larger role. But on December 7, 1941, what would become the single largest component of the American aerial arms, the 8th Air Force, which carried the heaviest portion of war in the skies to Germany, did not even exist on paper. For that matter, the entire U.S. Air Force hardly deserved the name, so deficient was it in terms of numbers of combat aircraft performance capability and qualified airmen compared to enemy forces. The Japanese Mitsubishi Zero, or Zeke fighters, in the South Pacific, flew faster, higher, and farther than any comparable aircraft in the American arsenal. In Europe, the German Messerschmitt 109 and 110 and the Focke-Wulf 190s could outperform the P-39s and P-40s, the best U.S. Air Corps fighters. Only the biggest bombers, the four-engine B-17 Flying Fortress and the B-24 Liberator, surpassed what the enemy operated. But this reflected more the Axis powers' decision to employ smaller bombers than any deficiency of design or production on their part. The inventory of all types of planes available to the handful of air crews was small. U.S. factories had yet to move into high gear, and much of what was produced had been committed to allies already engaged in combat. What had been accomplished during the 2 years and 3 months from the onset of the war in Europe to the entry of the United States was a series of plans that would eventually help shape the use of American military assets. During what were officially labeled United States-British Staff Conversations of March 27, 1941, and became known as ABC-1, the participants settled on a number of policies, including U.S. Army air bombardment units would operate offensively in collaboration with the Royal Air Force, primarily against German military power at its source. In the immediate aftermath of the devastation wrought against the U.S. fleet and the rapid onslaught of the Japanese against the Asiatic outposts of the Allies, President Franklin D. Roosevelt and his associates, in accord with such agreements as ABC-1 and various elaborations of the overall War Plan Orange series, had agreed that execution of the war against Germany held first priority. In preparation for the mandates of ABC-1, before December 7, 1941, an American military mission occupied offices in London. But even before then, in recognition of the ties with Great Britain and the inevitability of a confrontation with Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany, a stream of U.S. observers made their way to England to watch the RAF fight the Battle of Britain against German fighters and bombers during the summer of 1940. They also scouted potential bases for American contingents and managed lend-lease deals that included American-built planes, such as A-20 light bombers, dubbed Bostons, by the RAF. The advent of war almost instantly changed the nomenclature from the limited title of mission to U.S. Army forces in the British Isles, USA FBI, and the label presaged the establishment of a significant presence of men and machines. As Chief of the Army Air Forces, Lieutenant General Henry Hap Arnold secured approval from the War Department to activate an Air Force as part of USA FBI. He chose Major General Carl Spatz, a World War I combat pilot, respected tactician, strategist, and administrator, to head the outfit, and nominated Brigadier General Ira Aker to run the bomber command. Even before Spatz and Aker could begin to mobilize the airplanes to carry out the task, they encountered fierce opposition from the brass in charge of all U.S. Army efforts in England. The traditional resistance of ground commanders to grant any autonomy to the air forces succumbed only through the intervention of Army Chief of Staff, General George C. Marshall. The vehicle tapped for Spatz and Aker was the 8th Air Force, activated in January 1942. While the newly formed outfit initially consisted of a medium bombardment group, 2 pursuit groups, the designations of fighters or interceptors were not yet in vogue, and auxiliary units, other priorities reduced the 8th to a bare skeletal form as the Japanese advanced in the Pacific. The original bomber group committed to the 8th joined Lieutenant Colonel James H. Doolittle to train for his mission against Tokyo. Other aircraft allotted to the 8th were siphoned away to participate in the critical anti-submarine warfare off the U.S. coast and for other responsibilities. In February of 1942, Ira Aker took up station in England as the head of the 8th Bomber Command, but the parent organization was not in residence until May 11, 1942, when the first contingency of 39 officers and 384 enlisted men set foot on British soil. Aker, at the time all too aware of what little material strength he brought with him, rose to speak to an assembly of RAF guests at an early June ceremony at the newly opened High Wycombe headquarters. "We don't do much talking until we've done more fighting. We hope that when we leave, you'll be glad we came. Thank you."